Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show, the CJ-est show of all the CJ shows.
Hey, Guardians.
Is back. CJ, you were at the PSX's event.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. It was good.
Missed you.
You got to see. Yeah, I did not get to go. IGN
Sorry.
Thought they needed me here playing Last Guardian, which was the most important. Anyway.
Moving on.
Just kidding. Yeah, so you got to check out the new Sparrow Racing League stuff, and the reason we're recording a little bit late is because we knew the announcement was coming, so we've done this a few times where it's just kind of like, why are we going to record the episode then?
Speculating.
Let's just wait a few days and record then.
So in case you didn't know, it's Sparrow Racing.
Yeah, that was the big reveal. Well, it's actually an event called The Dawning.
Yeah.
There's a lot of details. There are going to be new emblems, shaders, emotes, tags in Sparrow Racing League. You're given a gift each day. It runs December 13th to January 3rd. Mm-hmm. There's going to be new racing maps on Mercury and another one on...
Cosmodrome? I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and then Bife said that Green's auto-dismantle after level 40. He got that little tidbit.
That's cool.
That's exciting.
Yes.
They're also introducing strike scoring. The strikes getting that implemented will be...
That's awesome.
The strikes getting Sivified are Nexus Strike, Willa Crota's Shadow Thief. there's going to be Zavala Strike Quest and new strike gear, some blues that were made into legendaries. Cool-looking blues, too. There's a dope Titan helmet.
Nice.
Actually, that I like quite a bit.
Nice.
So, all that said, I think the three new exotics are the big news. There is an Icebreaker.
It's back.
Yeah, it's back, baby.
Bang.
It has some cool-looking things that you can buy with money.
Yeah. the ornamentations.
Ornaments.
Well, at least they're not randomized at Xur anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they took care of that. Mm-hmm. So, but I still kind of like the original Icebreaker look. Like, I'm sometimes not a fan of these new ornamentation looks. The army one is kind of cool.
I don't like the army one. The white one I kind of like.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But I like traditional Icebreaker.
Me too. Yeah, like the traditional Icebreaker look is kind of what I think I'll be rocking. But it's neat that they have that option available.
So. Definitely. So that you get through a Zavala Nightfall quest and then Abaddon and Nova Mortis.
Say it. There it is. Is that right? You confident in that pronunciation?
Sure.
Yeah,
we'll go with close enough internet.
Exactly.
That's what we're going to go with.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those two are available through quests, though we don't know much more than that at this point.
Yeah, like you pick them up at Zavala, or you pick the bounty up for the Nightfall at Zavala.
That's for Icebreaker.
For
these two, it sounds like they have their own quest lines.
Mm-hmm. So that's
cool. Sort of like Gjallarhorn, so that's great.
Yeah, that's neat. I mean, because we weren't really sure, like coming into it, I think everybody was obviously expecting Sparrow Racing. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be it? And so this was a nice little, you know, hey, a few extra little tidbits in there, you know, nice to bring back the Icebreaker, so...
All in all, it's cool that they're doing a winter event.
Yeah.
A few weird things. Sparrow Racing League will stay, but only in private matches. So hit up those LFG groups to do some Sparrow Racing
well,
or get friends.
I mean, I kind of don't mind that. I think Destiny's weird. When they take something away is when you want it the most. Yeah. That's always how it works. So now that they're putting it in private matches, I think they'll probably bring it back maybe more often than obviously once a year. There's also four tracks now too, so might be a reason to bring it back.
I don't know. I mean, it'll be there. It'll be there in private matches, but I don't think they're going to bring it back. I think that's a solution they were able to offer because they don't have the bandwidth to allocate the multiplayer servers to that. Though player numbers have to be down. You know, it's 2 years old now, right? 3 years old.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so thinking about...
So I don't know why they wouldn't have the infrastructure in place to just have Sparrow Racing. Maybe it's because they'd have to redo the UI.
Maybe, but I mean, it's already in there. So, I mean, they didn't say that it wasn't going to come back. But
private matches are great, but why can't you just host a match if you want? Would that be too hard to do?
For Sparrow Racing?
Because then it's dedicated servers, right? I'm trying to think of network infrastructure, which I know absolutely nothing about. So, network guys out there, tell me why I'm stupid.
No,
and not just because of my haircut.
But what do you There it is. I was waiting for it. It was either the funny voice or the self-deprecating humor. No, so specifically, what are you talking about, though? You would like it for it to be in the game rather than it to be just in private matches.
Yeah, so we're going to have Sparrow Racing League. You're actually going to be able to get all your gear. A note on the gear that you can get. If you dismantle it after this event, apparently there's going to be a kiosk where your gear will go. So hold on to your gear. Don't dismantle it beforehand like I did.
Ooh.
And, well, I only did one thing. I dismantled one of the green helmets.
Right.
But then they added the event kiosk, which was great. And I was like, oh, those helmets are gone.
Yeah.
You know?
You can get them later.
Like, get them out of here.
I still have a Jade Rabbit racing helmet that I like. It's one of my favorite helmets just from, like, an aesthetic standpoint. But
I have my gear that I held on, too, because they had really good rolls.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well... I guess I'm
most people initially held on to that stuff because everybody that I've talked to are like, oh, yeah, I did Sparrow Racing at my first 320 helmet because nobody could get a helmet from the Oryx raid. But, I mean, I don't mind it. I think it being in private matches is obviously going to take away its I don't know the word I'm looking for. It's the same thing. Like, you can't do Iron Banner. Like, you can't just go, hey, I'm going to do Iron Banner in private matches.
Well, you can set it up so that it's just like Iron Banner.
You can.
But the thing I'm saying is, like, the more I think about private matches are great, a great way to get your friends together. Mm-hmm. Like, I can put a call out on Twitter and probably put together a match or just hang out with the people that I have on PSN. The tricky part is that I don't understand why they couldn't just have a match type where, okay, I want to play Iron Banner right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going on right now, but.
Right.
I mean, yeah. But if it weren't going on and I just wanted to play a match, why can't I just host a match and have people join? Maybe it's more complicated than that.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about specifically to have Sparrow Racing where, to me, I think it's a reward thing. Like, if you want to play in private matches in Sparrow Racing, you obviously are really going to like Sparrow Racing.
Like, if you play Gears, for example, you can create a multiplayer match. You can say, I have 16 slots open, and you can sit there and wait for 16 people to come in.
Right.
I think that would be a great, simple option to add to Destiny. Maybe you only get four people in there, but at least you're able to play. Sparrow Racing is a really good example. Like, people looking for Sparrow Racing, you can hop in and play.
See,
and if you don't want to host, why not just say, hey, like, once you create your prerequisite, like, I want to play Sparrow Racing, search for a Sparrow Racing match. And it'll put you into the grid.
So you just want it to be another option within the context of the Crucible selection menu.
Yeah.
Sparrow Racing.
Yeah.
Autofill, go into Sparrow Racing.
Yeah.
I get that. I think...
it seems like it's 80% of the way there, but the extra 20% of figuring out how to implement that code, it hasn't happened yet. Will it ever happen? Who knows?
Who knows?
Not in Destiny 1, I don't think.
No, but I think that's one of those things where when they decide to turn it on and turn it off and then have you get the drops that you get for playing it, there's just an incentive to do that game type associated with whatever event they have going on at, you know, the tower or wherever it is. So I get...
You think they'll bring it back. I don't think they're going to bring back Sparrow Racing.
I think they will. I think if not, you know...
They will, next winter.
Right. Like, if not next winter, which they probably will if they continue to support after, they potentially now, because they've implemented in private matches, might bring it back maybe for something in the summer, potentially. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, because Sparrow Racing's not tied to winter. Mm-hmm. It's just within the context of this DLC, The Dawning. But it was fun. It was good.
Overall, I feel like I'm being really negative, but overall, the idea of the Dawning event, it's really cool. I really like when they redesign the tower, and it looks really pretty, and it gives you incentive to hop back into Destiny and collect all this new stuff.
Yeah. And there's angels, you know.
Yeah, the snow angel robots.
A snow angel
thing. That was cute.
Yeah.
I like all those little things that they do. Overall, it feels very light.
It does.
Feels like they're like, well, what can we do? Scott said something like, oh, we're bringing back Icebreaker. Ice winner? Get it? I love puns, so I actually right like that quite a bit.
I mean, just chatting with Deej and Scott there, I mean, the other thing, too, is they've adjusted the dates. I mean, I think if you remember back to the last one.
It was like a week.
It was like a week, and not only that, it was – well, a lot of people were getting Destiny for Christmas mm-hmm. or the holidays, and then you –
servers went down.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah. But then also it's like, hey, you have a day or two to try Sparrow Racing, then it's gone mm-hmm. forever or until we decide to announce it again.
Yeah.
So
thanks for
time,
your $10.
Yeah, well,
peace out.
The record book is another issue. Yeah. But
which still works
January
with this
3rd.
One. The record book does –
It
still
does, yeah. And now the record book has no cost to it. Burke has no cost, and they've obviously designed it the same way like the Rise of Iron is and the way you kind of get rewards and completion stuff
That's
like that.
Cool.
So it does look really neat. So from that standpoint,
I wonder if one of the gifts you open is a $10 refund for the record book you bought last year.
I was waiting for you to say that. I just paused, and I was like, he's about to do a $10
joke like,
here.
I was like, oh, it's free?
It's
That's
coming.
That's good to know.
Well, listen, I mean, I've already went there. I never bought that stuff in the first place. I never have.
I bought it for work, did some video clips and stuff like that.
So you already got your $10 back, because I'm pretty sure you might have expensed that.
Well, yeah, you know what I did? I bought the book. I did, like, three races, and I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It wasn't – Sparrow Racing is not that big of a deal. It is a fun, sort of silly little thing that Destiny adds that you can kind of – it's like popcorn.
Yes.
You try it once.
A little icing on the cake. Licing.
If Destiny was a movie, you have the popcorn for a little while until you get tired of it.
Yeah.
And then you stop eating the popcorn.
I do think it's cool how they've implemented this.
Terrible analogy.
No, it is a terrible one, but I'll let you roll with it.
Or is it simile?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, not English class. Right
Anyways,
now.
No. I think it's really neat, though, that there's a completely other mechanic of the game where they just all of a sudden, like, it's a first-person shooter. No. I'm not, but I feel like I need some water, which is just off the side here. That
might
be grabbing a little bit. But yeah, I think it's cool that for a first-person shooter to be able to have that kind of level of detail in their racing mechanics is very cool. You know, that doesn't happen very often, so it was fun.
It was a pretty surprising implementation. I mean, it's a really silly event, but it's pretty cute that they managed to make it work.
Yeah, yeah, and
within the world of Destiny
and custom sparrows and you know horn sounds and emotes on the bike and yeah, you know, like, all that stuff. It kind of just works with the world. It's a neat, you know, kind of piece of the puzzle. And I think it's nice that, you get a chance to, if you do pick up Destiny for the holidays, you know, it's around until January 3rd within the context of being able to level up and get gear and get a bunch of cool stuff. So
the questions I would have liked to have seen asked by anybody, and as far as I know, there was no comment on this anyway. It's just like, Scott, you promised us vault space back at Gamescom.
Is it?
In August? It's on the way, is what the quote was. And still nothing. Still crickets.
I think all of a sudden,
I want to get rid of my VOG gear.
Yeah.
And because of how they've done it in the past, where they add a kiosk, right?
Yes.
And then you can get rid of your stuff. But if you do that before, it doesn't work with the kiosk.
Right.
It's it's still taking up 20 slots in my inventory.
Yeah.
Or just fix vault space.
So they added a kiosk to the Halloween stuff.
That seems to be their solution.
And that seems to be their solution. So, and that makes sense to me. I actually like that as much as having extra vault space. Because really, if you have a kiosk for everything, what's the point of having, especially vault
Besides
space,
Besides the
problem?
Fact that it's leveled up.
Right, but my point is
the tricky part about VOG stuff is it uses ascendant materials.
Right.
So they'll run into that problem.
Right. Yeah, I guess if it's not when you level it up with motes of light. Yeah, you are right. Okay.
They should just modernize the old raids. That's what they should do.
That's very interesting. Actually, I never thought about that stuff within the context of ascendant shards, because what can you get from the speaker? You can't buy those things outright. You need to have
Maybe you can, actually.
You can convert them. If you have, ascendant energy or ascendant shards, you can go back and forth converting them. But I don't think if you have them, you can just buy them there.
It seems like a pretty simple thing that they could add to the vendors who already have relic iron and stuff like that.
The gunsmith,
it's
maybe.
Hey, we're not going to make you farm VOG.
Yeah, for those kind of materials. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that is a good point. To the kiosk if they do that for all the
or they could just update the weapons to not require those materials.
See, I don't think they'll do
that. Because that's an antiquated system that they got rid of. They got rid of it. Now it's all weapon parts and
it is.
And armor parts.
But all that system is still present in all the weapons. So it's like unless they – to me
– File, undo, ascendant materials, right?
Just done.
There you go.
Just there you go, guys. Problem solved.
It's so simple. It's so simple when
exactly.
we sit here on our chairs
and just say, hey,
lean back and be like,
make that happen.
I solved all their problems.
That's right. There you go. Destin LeGarry.
We're the best.
Bungie, get them in there.
We're great.
Yeah, obviously implementing more vault space is difficult, and so are some of those raid pieces of the puzzle. But when you bring back Icebreaker and you bring back all these weapons, obviously a year two version of all of those is possible, or three, or current, or whatever you want to call it.
So all in all, I'm sort of like lukewarm on the announcement. I'm like, this is cool. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
What excites me about it the most is it clearly is a message from Bungie to the fans. We are listening. We know what you want. We are working on it. This stuff takes time.
Yep.
Give us time. Nova Mortis and Abaddon are there because people wanted Void and Solar versions of that weapon.
Yes. And two, also,
Sparrow Racing is back and permanently back because people asked for it to be back.
Right.
But it was a small group, so that's probably why they put it into the private matches.
Yeah.
The winter event is different than it was last year because people didn't want just the same old thing.
Yeah.
Strike scoring is there because it's an interesting way to revitalize strikes.
Yes.
They listen to the community, and they are doing their best.
Yep.
And come on, community, give them a little bit of a break.
Yeah, it's good. And strike scoring, yeah, that's one of those things where it's a nice little piece of puzzle.
I say give them a break, but I don't mean, like, don't critique them.
No.
But, like, don't be terrible about it.
No.
Like, I really hate it when I see people get really negative or really acidic or just like, what have you done to me?
Yeah.
And it's just like, they didn't mean to.
No, but, you know? But Bungie, they
except
deal with
for the
stuff.
Microtransactions.
Yeah,
that was
the
on
line.
Purpose.
No, I mean, they get that. I mean, they've been dealing with those kind of, you know, harsh criticisms and feedback because, again, they know the community's passionate about it. And it's, again, you'd not be receiving criticism about your game 3 years in if we didn't like it. I mean, they know that. But, those are all things that I think will definitely keep the people who are there here for a little longer. Mm-hmm. Again, I think we're past the point of, hey, are you just going to start Destiny randomly? But, again, Christmas, holidays, you know, whatever you want to celebrate at the 25th mark, you could just get the game. There's a lot of deals on it.
Before Destiny 2, I don't think there's any new paid DLC coming into this game. They released Destiny the Collection, and to me that says, hey, we're not adding anything else to this game.
Really? Okay.
You know, I think Destiny 2 is their next big focus for sales. They'll do microtransaction stuff in-game, which I'm sure will be present with this update.
So we kind of asked that. I don't know if you saw that.
Well, there's
going to
be new emotes and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We literally is like,
at the Eververse.
What's happening? He's like, well, we're working on Destiny stuff. And we're like, I was waiting for the word sequel, not stuff. But again, obviously, they're working on Destiny content.
It's almost like he did that on purpose.
No, he did that on purpose. But yeah, those kind of things, you want to know what's happening next. But they're obviously focusing their shift on whatever's coming around the corner. Mm-hmm. And
it's got to be super fun for him. He's like,
oh,
I got
he
a
knows.
Secret.
Yeah, just trolling. It's like, thanks, Scott. Smiling nice and big there.
What do you want us to work on?
Did you want to know what's up? You just tell us. for me, I think, though, and I mean, I haven't really said this publicly. I've said this to Fran.
Oh, you haven't said it's gonna be
what
big.
I'm going to say.
Dropping the bomb.
I'm dropping the bomb. And this is by no means confirmed based on anything.
It's Canadian, though.
Yeah, it's
so
Canadian.
It's going to be nice.
Stop that. Dropping on anything.
And then he'll apologize.
I feel as if this game, with the amount of legs that it has for all the years, that even though they've announced that the sequel or something is coming in 2017, I would not be surprised if that potentially gets pushed to 2018.
A game release being pushed?
And something else getting in the mix of like a raid or a prison
in Destiny
type
1.
Thing. In Destiny 1. And that ends up being like a sorry. And you just have a – I have to do it because you're going to call me out on it if I say it right.
Sorry.
Anyways. But yeah, so I mean for me that's what I think is going to happen. I feel like I just have to say that because – but I wouldn't be upset with that.
That wouldn't be paid, though. Like I said, I don't think they're going to add paid DLC. Yes, they should update the raids and all that stuff, but it's not going to cost you any more money.
But could
is
they?
What I think. Could they what?
Add another paid DLC, like, in the middle of next year.
Like,
and have
charge
like a...
for it? It would have to be, like, an Eververse thing, because they're not going to do a DLC drop. I really, really think that they're not going to do another drop.
But could they?
Could they? Of course they could, but they have Destiny the Collection out now.
I do.
And so it's going to be like... So what are you going to do? Destiny the Masterpiece? You know, like,
I mean, it really, yeah, it, to me, it depends
the master
on
collection
how,
after that.
Yeah, it depends on how they want to brand it, or if you're right, it just becomes a piece of that puzzle where it's like Eververse or it's like some kind of moment. And it might not be a raid, it might not be anything like that, but they obviously have the ability to incorporate those things into the game for extra cost if they wanted to.
It's challenging, man. I think they'll keep doing events like this, and they get their little bit of bump from these little events leading into Destiny 2. I think Destiny 2 is 2017.
Yeah.
Like, has been rumored.
Yeah.
And events like this one, which are cool, and, like, I'll pop back in.
Yeah.
I don't know how long I'm going to play, though, you know?
Yeah.
They're still doing Iron Banner. Trials is still going on, so the competitive scene's still there.
Yep.
But I don't think we're going to get another big Rise of Iron-like content drop.
Gotcha. I feel like there...
Or even, what was, not the second DLC, but the third one, not House of Wolves.
House of Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's like they... I feel like they could. Like, and I'm only
of
saying
that... Of course they could.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, though. I think they're just going to move on to Destiny 2.
I don't think it's planned, maybe. Here's the thing. This is all speculation. Mm-hmm. So I just cannot see, I'm wondering when they would announce that. To me, if it comes at E3, which when other time would they announce it? So close. Like, when did they announce Destiny, and then when did we see anything for the original?
I mean, they announced it and they showed it.
Right.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't released for how much longer?
Like a year.
Right. It doesn't seem odd to you that if Destiny 2 is coming out, that the
Destiny
first time...
was leaked to IGN, actually, way beforehand, and it kind of forced their hand to launch a little early.
Interesting. Okay.
I think.
Well,
but I mean, they confirmed that it was in development after that,
yes.
And then they did their marketing push.
Yeah,
you know,
but there
so.
Was a long time before like it.
I think
happened.
It was like a year of marketing, and then the game released.
Yeah, so in this situation, even
maybe
if it does
a year and
release
a half.
September, you know, November, that's only 7 to 10 months away. Like, do you think that we'd not seen or heard of anything like that already before it comes out? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that would be a pretty quick marketing cycle. But,
it
like, what events, what major events where they could announce that people would cover, would they drop Destiny 2 at? E3 is
E3.
The only one.
But that's what I mean. So E3
TGS.
And then 3 months release after that?
Wait, TGS
like in
happened.
September? Yeah, that's done.
Yeah.
So
there's nothing else.
I don't know. To me, and that's the only reason why I'm thinking 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, that's just based on, the first roadmap. It seems like we're a long ways away.
So you think
from...
announce E3 this year, release 2018?
Yes.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I think so. Again, it's not what they're saying.
And
I have no information at all on that.
Yeah. I think they keep doing these little events. They're not going to. They'll do updates to Destiny 1 to keep people interested through 2018.
Yes.
But... Yeah, again, I that's a long time, but I think they're letting the ship sort of slowly sail on Destiny 1, and they're moving their focuses to the sequel.
And that's
that would
probably
make
true.
I think they just need to do that as a developer.
Yes, for sure.
You know?
But if you look at games that have just got released this year, and if you think of Titanfall and Battlefield and Call of Duty and that whole, you know, September, November, you know, October release window, why release a game in that window, in a sense? I mean, obviously, this game is probably one of the few games that can release.
90% of the team has been doing nothing but working on Destiny 2. When's the last time we've heard from Luke Smith? It's been, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Obviously, they have a lot of the infrastructure built for Destiny 2.
Yeah.
I think they could launch in 2017.
Yeah.
I think it's ambitious.
I think it's ambitious, too, on account of just not seeing anything.
But it fits with the leaked document timeline. It fits with all the timelines. They're already a year late. Destiny 2 was supposed to be this September, according to the documents.
Right.
So if they don't launch next year, they're going to be in trouble with their partner, Activision.
Yeah.
So I think we will get a sequel in 2017. That's my hypothesis.
Gotcha.
Anyway, this all came from the big update. And this was supposed to be like a shorter episode. But
we always get into it a little bit.
Right away, for me, I haven't really had any reason to play. I've run the raid like 50 times.
Wow.
You know. Well, dude, I would run it every Tuesday. I had a group, and we were running every Tuesday, and eventually I just got to the point, I'm like, guys, like, we have no reason to be doing this. We're all 400. Yeah. We have all the gear. You know? I have 10 ghosts that are
basic.
400.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of finished my time with Rise of Iron.
Yeah.
To be fair, I put in a lot of 100 hours
tons
or something.
Tons of time, yeah.
And it was definitely worth it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still doing lots of trials. That's where
trials
I'm at.
Is your go-to.
Trials is my go-to. Yeah. So, and again, that's one of those time things where it just feels like, I got the weekend. That's what I want to play, and that's where I'll spend time for the next, like, regardless of what the, you know, what the content is. I'll always do trials every weekend.
So you already play trials. How much time will you dedicate to this? I'll probably hop in for the GIFs. The GIFs are going to be fun to check out every day.
Yeah, for sure.
On the 13th, I'll do a commentary, you know, yep, where we check that stuff out. I'll play Sparrow Racing a bit, check out the new maps.
Yep. And they're good maps. I mean,
I'll probably go for fun. I'll definitely do the new – if they're quests, I'll do those right away. And I'll do the Zavala Nightfall for Icebreaker.
Yeah.
But then I'll have them all. Then I'll have my collection will again be complete,
yep,
and I will have no reason to play Destiny.
Till Valentine's Day.
And then I'll hop back in. Then I'll do Crimson Doubles with you, and you can carry me.
That's right. Let's do that. And then I'll dial up Steven.
Exactly. And then we'll call Steven.
I was waiting for your impression. It's okay.
You want me to do it?
No, it's okay. No, it's
Hey, Steven.
There it is.
Yeah? Hey, man, happy Valentine's.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my wife's great.
I got
Let's
you something.
Not talk about her right now. Yeah. So Crimson Doubles is back.
A little run to the lighthouse?
Yeah.
CJ, are you coming?
Terrible, Dustin. Terrible. But that's probably where we're at.
That's not how your wife sounds at all.
No, not at all. But she actually just does sound like that sometimes. And it's like,
CJ,
sweetheart, I'm busy. Just go to the lighthouse. Talk. We'll celebrate Valentine's on the next day.
Oh my God.
I'm a terrible person. That's where we're at. It's probably waiting for these little event content drops to happen, getting a bunch of items. And then, that's probably, unless you're really into Crucible, you're probably done playing PvP for the most part.
CJ, will you make me a promise?
Oh, no.
You don't miss Valentine's Day for Destiny?
Now you're concerned?
Yeah.
Are you saying I have a problem, Destin?
What?
Yeah.
Spend some time with your wife. That's all I'm saying.
Fine.
Remember, you have kids, too.
Fine.
Right?
No, I don't have kids. What are you talking about? I'm young. Look at this young baby face here.
I see some gray hairs.
Stop looking, Destin. There's a few gray hairs. Now, I'm stoked. I think that's the reason why for me.
You're stoked for this event.
I'm just stoked for more Destiny content.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy Destiny 1. Like, my biggest fear with Destiny 2, and I had the same thing where I was a big fan of Halo 2, not so much Halo 3. Halo Reach came along. They evolved it even more. Actually, if you played a lot of Halo Reach, you can even see kind of like the building blocks of Destiny in that game.
Totally.
Like armor lock, jetpack, all that stuff. I'm just hoping for the same kind of feel with Destiny 2. And again, because I enjoy so much Destiny 1.
A lot of people didn't like Halo Reach's multiplayer. I loved Halo Reach's multiplayer. The armor lock thing was like a problem.
Yeah.
But besides that, it was pretty freaking cool.
No, it was good. They were at the time, it felt like trying to, you know, change things up a little bit. They took some cues from Call of Duty that I think were kind of negative.
That was the big thing.
Yeah,
it's it's too much like Call of Duty now. It's like, you go back and play Halo 2, it's slow.
Yeah, Halo 2 is slow, but Halo Reach, they added like blooming to the weapons, and then they also added like, you couldn't.
The loadouts.
You couldn't jump. There was loadouts. It was really odd. So it kind
I liked
of,
it.
It was okay, but it broke the foundation of what Halo was. Weapons on a map, power positions.
Yeah.
That was gone. Mm-hmm. That's never been what Destiny is. So it works for Destiny.
Well, now it's heavy.
That doesn't work so well for...
about ammo.
Right. It's about ammo and positioning for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see. Again, Icebreaker is going to bring back a whole new sort of meta to the game. Will it be OP? Will they do it, or how will they incorporate that in?
Single player meta, Icebreaker will not be one of the mains that use the multiplayer, I don't think. Actually, you know what? I wonder if that trick's still there where you could let your Icebreaker power up. They must have fixed it. But like, you get full ammo on your Icebreaker, then switch. No, they fixed it.
No, yeah, because you can't switch to a different sniper. Yeah, your ammo.
That would. Maybe it will come into play in multiplayer. Think about it, because like, you're going to have unlimited ammo with your sniper now.
Well, that's exactly it.
So actually, it's really interesting what it would do there.
Yeah, people use, I just was about to say it, No Land Beyond. If you are in a situation.
Because it's a primary.
Because it's a primary, and you get, sniper weapon with it. Yeah. So there'll be other things that come into play. But Icebreaker was not super OP for multiplayer. I mean, some people really like the way that weapon feels. There are obviously way better snipers out there for that kind of stuff.
This ability is really bad. It doesn't one-shot.
Exactly,
on
it's
res.
Slow recoil. Yeah. It's got, it kicks a lot. But still a good weapon, and everybody has those moments of playing Icebreaker that you just loved and remembered. So it's nice to have it back.
I think that's all we had to go over.
I think so.
What would you rate this announcement in your excitement level? Where would you put it? Out of 10. We'll do an out of 10 scale.
It's about a 7.9.
Oh, God.
I will say this. It's a little bit higher than before because I thought it was just going to be Sparrow Racing.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, Sparrow Racing, then it being available after in private matches. I've been playing lots of private matches with people, actually.
Yeah.
And it's fun. Yeah, when you actually have a good group of
It is fun because you can all talk.
Yeah, you can all talk and you can
friends.
Hang out. Yeah, you're
it's
laughing.
Oh, you got me.
Those are the moments in Halo 2 proximity chat where when you're playing those kind of matches, especially for Rumble
and they were
stuff,
like, here.
Yeah.
And then they take you out.
You have the bomb and you're hiding. Yeah. You're like, you'd fake them out.
Like,
so,
hey, CJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sword.
Where are you? So I like that stuff. That is a piece of Destiny that really should have existed day one.
Yeah.
But you kind of now have a different appreciation because it rolled out so far into its, you know, cycle. Mm-hmm. But it's really fun. I mean, so as a Crucible guy, I'm going to be around on Valentine's Day.
Definitely. For me, it's a 6-7. Like, pretty just kind of like, okay, this is good. Like, I'll play it a little bit, but I'm still kind of in break mode.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I've done everything. I have every weapon. There's no more collection. Like, for me, I'm a big collector. Like, growing up, I collected comics. And, like, in video games, I collect achievements or just, like, costumes or whatever it is. And in Destiny, I'm at that point where I have everything I want. There's, like, the stuff I don't have, I don't really care about. They're not the meta right now. So they're not a thing I need to be competitive. Mm-hmm. Like, I could hop in, I have gear, and I can play competitively. So I'm not worried about that.
Yeah. Do you have a clever dragon with high caliber rounds, basically? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dirty.
So I'm good. But I also have the Trials Pulse and Scout, which are dope.
Yeah. So, those are really good, too. So,
So for me, it's like 6-7. Going to check it out. I probably won't stick around too long after I get the weapons, but I like the gift thing. That might have me at least sign on once a day, get my gift, and sign out.
Yeah.
But overall, I'm just like, okay, it's good.
But the nightfall and the scoring, and there's a bunch of things that I think from like a community standpoint, it brings a little bit more kind of that personal camaraderie / competitive where it's not as much as you playing to win. It's about you're playing with a buddy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how come you're not carrying your weight? You know, and you can kind of see some of those visual indicators.
I'll be interested to see what strike scoring does for that aspect because, I'm just like, man, that would have been really great to have, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, not at the end of the product's life cycle.
Yeah.
But I feel like as they're adding these things, they're just like, you know what? We have a year before Destiny 2 comes out. Let's make Destiny 1 as close to perfect as we can get it. Let's add strike scoring.
Yep.
We're going to revitalize those raids. That's what we're working on right now. We're going to figure out the vault space problems. And we're going to get this product as close to where we want it to be when we decide. Because at a point, they just have to accept that there were mistakes made with the first one move on and make those corrections in the sequel, right?
Well,
and I think that's what they're going to do over the next year. They're going to be like, raids are back. These new weapons are back. We've balanced everything. There's a few more with primary elemental damage. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the route that they go.
And I mean,
and I think that would be great.
And that is, I think that's accurate. I would say mistakes is probably the wrong word. Like, I think they've probably just evolved. So all those things, if you think of like ascendant shards and how it like applied to your weapon, like you had to like power up your weapon. It's like, what did that do? Like, right?
People didn't like that.
People didn't like that.
So would you say that was bad? It was a bad gameplay mechanic that they learned from.
Yeah.
So it was a mistake.
But not within the context of, because really a lot of the stuff and how they evolve the ecosystem of the different sort of like, even if you think about it, how much spin metal did you have?
Lots. I still have lots.
Or, how much sapphire wire and like hardonic essence, like to have like individual armor materials.
Learned from their mistakes. They learned from their design implementations that didn't quite get the desired effect that they wanted.
And man, Destin, you really was a, you're wrong, Bungie.
I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying they're just like, okay, we tried this thing. It didn't work.
Yes.
And we fixed it or we tried our best to make it better.
Right.
That is, to me, I'm not being demeaning. I'm
Just
saying we feel like that could have been done better. They'll never say they made a mistake because that's too negative in connotation.
Right.
But, I mean, I can say that.
Yeah.
They made a mistake, but they're learning from it, and that's a good thing.
I think that's what I'm trying to say is that for the most part, for when they have made mistakes, they do a very good job.
I got a Canadian.
Yeah,
to say something slightly negative.
Fine, Destin, you're right this one time.
Nah.
But the evolution and how they've taken a lot of those different things and evolved them.
God, he'd be so good in PR.
Oh, man.
He'd be so good in PR.
But I do appreciate, there's a lot of details. Because when you go back and you look at even what they're doing with the ornaments, how it's like, hey, we sold a couple from Xur. Hey, we're not doing that now. Okay, yeah. So they really do that stuff. And, I mean, do you remember the first time you, like, upgraded, like, stuff from Xur? How it was, like, you needed to find the weapon, mm-hmm. like, at any different time. And it was like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you're right. If they have made mistakes.
They learn from their.
They learn from their.
What's the word you're using?
Fine mistakes. Okay. You're right this one time. But, yeah, they do a very good job at addressing their flawed. You're terrible.
Flawed design principles, which turned out not to be as fun, as easily implemented as they had originally
hoped.
There you
go. Yeah.
Not mistakes, though.
Destiligary. Mistakes were made.
But they're working on them, and I'm super happy because it means like they recognize that there were shortcomings with those other design strategies.
Shortcomings. There's a better, more positive word. There were shortcomings, and they're addressing and evolving their shortcomings.
Evolving, that's the one you're going
to. That's
right. It makes me really excited because they are listening to the community. We're getting those different weapon types. That's a new thing.
Yes.
You know, that they're it's from the community, but it's like, oh, good point. Here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, strike scoring? That's a cool idea. Here you go.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty easy to implement. We can do that.
Yeah.
The raid one, you know, Scott teased the vault thing.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously, they're talking about – he said, like, we talk about all the stuff that you guys talk about. So they're talking about what to do with the old raids.
Well, and they're alleviating, you know, vault space. And we're also got to remember that this is a PS, you know, 3 and 360 game. From mm-hmm. that standpoint, when you think about that, everything that was up till this point been able to run on that console, mm-hmm. that's mind-boggling when you think of what Destiny is. So, you know, they'll do it different this time around, being able to just focus specifically on next gen.
One last thought on that, and then we got to go.
All right.
But the vault space problems that they ran into with Destiny 1,
mm-hmm.
you have to know or bet your – I would bet that the vault system in Destiny 2 is – dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to run into these problems again. I have no idea what that game looks like. They said they've talked about taking a drastic different approach.
Yeah.
But I think the vault system is going to be completely foreign. It'll be new.
Yeah.
Maybe not foreign, but foreign from Destiny 1 to 2.
Are you telling me I'm going to change my hoarder tendencies and there'll be infinite amount of vault space?
There will probably be other
I'm
ways for you to hoard. Hoard stuff, but
maybe.
Like if you get that fusion from Vault of Glass and it's just sitting in your inventory, they'll probably just, if they go with the kiosk system, which I don't think is a perfect system either, but there will probably be other ways to, like, hey, you'll have, like, they have this whole record book system right now, and you have
to
think, like, the record book stuff works really well, mm-hmm. and you're able to just grab that stuff. That has to be like an idea that they're working into Destiny 2 in some way, but in a different look, with a different look.
Yeah.
Because right now you got to buy books for every little event, right? And then you unlock the stuff for every little event. Maybe that's what they're going to do in the sequel.
Yeah.
Maybe they just have some sort of system that keeps you in the game working towards progressing your character.
Yeah.
Or as you level, there's like different things you get every level. So there's that constant reward feedback. There's so much they could do to circumvent the problems that they've found with Destiny 1.
Yeah, well, not to mention that with DIM and the API and all that stuff being available now mm-hmm. within, you know, the game, it's like that didn't exist before. And, I mean, I'm getting to the point now where I actually like that as much as going to the vault. So you take vault access out of it from the game. It obviously needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you've gone to the vault and go, oh, I'm going to change this between my characters?
No.
I don't do that.
I use DIM.
So that is something that, like, 2 years ago, it was like, I can use my cell phone to change my items around in the game.
Yeah.
Like, when that happened, that's a big deal. So that's super cool. So
when you
come into the next Destiny with that in mind,
they'll just make their app and have that implemented.
Exactly. It's a very different design philosophy, I think, that they'll approach it with, where they did not, like, have those, you know, pieces of the puzzle in play when the first one came out. So.
Definitely.
But
we should probably get out of here, CJ.
Probably.
Got a busy day today.
I do.
Oh, my God. I have a dentist appointment.
All right.
I got to go, everybody.
Dentist.
I totally forgot.
Now I'm just thinking of your trials comments. There you go. All right, man.
Sounds all right.
Good. Bounce.
Thank you, CJ. Thank you for joining
us. Thanks, man. It was a good time.
And thank you for joining us. And until next time, Guardians out.
Out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.